What's up, internet? How you doing? Brett, Andy, Chad, welcoming you to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Ready to rant, rave, and I don't know. What else can you do besides rant and rave? Is there another R there? I got nothing. Anyways, go ahead.
Regurgitate.
Yeah, rant, rave, and regurgitate. That means we're going to be spitting stuff out that we've already talked about. Maybe not, but we do want to revisit a previous topic here briefly. Certainly hope that you are doing well, and welcome again to the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, where we try and bring real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. Brett made absolutely no excuses with his last little rant and pissing off the internet, and I like that side of Brett. I almost want to get you pissed off before we hit the air, just because it makes for good quality recording.
Well, the thing is that I'm not sorry for anything that I say. It's coming straight from the heart. And, you know, I put up with a lot of bullshit every single day of my life. So, I mean, if you feel like you're butthurt about anything that I say, give me a hit on Tinder. I'm Twitter.
Slide into the DMs on Tinder if you're pissed off at Brett. I don't know that would work, buddy.
Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on Facebook. People know how to find me.
Well, that's it. We certainly don't want you to stop listening. We never want you to stop listening. We want to thank you for your support. This is going to be about episode 23 or so. We're really sort of hitting strides. Some big news coming as well, hopefully, with the podcast continuing to pick up steam. But yeah, I guess if you ever get offended by something that Brett says, just find him on Tinder. I mean, Twitter. That's it. Yeah, find him on Twitter, at Brettsky, whatever it is. What is it, buddy? at Brettsky 1984. There you go. No, we'll cut that out. We don't want your personal Twitter becoming a shitstorm of
no, you know what? It that's okay, because even people that I know in real life cause shitstorms on my Twitter, and I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry.
That's awesome. Andy, are you ready to you're like, you don't, I don't know, you haven't offended anybody yet, I don't think, with anything you've said, but the night is young, I suppose.
What, just today?
Well, yeah, I mean, today. Did you offend anybody today?
I don't think so.
Not that
I
mean, you know of.
Are you talking about followers or the crew?
Just everyone, you know. Let's just open it up. Who have you pissed off today, Andy?
Brett and I are very similar in that we're pretty straightforward. I just, when it comes to the World Wide Web, I keep my opinion to myself for the most part. So, I'm not going to lie to you. I do enjoy looking through Brett's comments sometimes because it's entertaining.
I will agree that BT Wills's Facebook page is endless entertainment sometimes.
I don't know. Have I mentioned that I'm not sorry?
Yeah, I think so. Once or twice. So listen, does that make me the nice guy of the three of us?
Yeah, but you have to be. You're a school teacher.
That's
everybody so loves Chad. That's why they get so mad when I call you out over the internet.
Yeah, I think, and we've talked about this before on previous episodes, I think, people that don't know our dynamic of friendship to an outsider, we chirp each other a lot, and more so, and I don't say this disrespectfully, but more so the chirps come from you. So I think there's quite a few people on the internet that think you are a grade A asshole. Listen, internet, if you've been following our podcast in recent weeks, you know that at 38 years old, Andy decided to learn to ride a bike. He chronicled that for us on the podcast, as well as through vlogs, video logs on his Ability Fitness Instagram and Facebook. And so thanks for following that journey. He mentioned this week that there was a setback in bike riding. So Andy, tell us what's going on in the two-wheeled adventures of Andrew Paul Moore.
Well, last week I said I bought a bike, and it turned out that when I went to the bike shop, I had to get a customized bike because they didn't have anything that worked in terms of the style of bike I was looking for. So I did not get the bike until actually a week ago today. And being that I'm still learning how to ride a bike, I wasn't able to try it out without my spotter, which is sounds awesome as a 38-year-old independent man. But anyways, the guy at the shop, we took measurements, and he's like, this is the bike for you. It's custom fitted to me. But what we didn't factor in was, and we talked about it last week, was the spasticity that happens with cerebral palsy.
I'm so proud of you for using the word spasticity and cerebral palsy correctly. Well done, Andy.
Yeah, well, you do have some influence over my life. It's very little.
Oh, but... I was like, that's the nicest thing you've ever said, and then you just ruined it.
Anyways, so I'm trying to get on the bike, and I cannot get on the bike. Finally, we get on the bike. I get on the bike. It's not a tandem. I get on the bike. And the one crucial part of the bike training was the instructor said, make sure you can put your feet flat on the floor or on the ground just in case you start to fall, right? I guess that's not normally what happens when you ride a bike, but for this program, it was imperative. So I get on the bike and I can put my feet on the ground, but I'm on my tippy toes, so I'm straining. So that's not good. Steve says, let's just see if you can ride it. So we do a couple laps and I started to get a little more confident, and then pick up a little bit of speed, and then the bike starts to wobble. So reaction, I hit the brakes, and being the novice bike rider that I am, I don't realize if you hammer the brakes, it's not like a car where there's space to stop. Like, it takes time to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty instant. I didn't tell Steve I was hammering the brakes, and being that he's spotting me, his stomach runs square into my elbows at a pretty good clip. So I thought I broke his ribs. Anyway, so it was not a good day. We had to take the bike back because it just didn't work.
Oh, wow. And
so
you injured your brother and you're out of bike.
Yeah, we have another bike already, but it's just – it was a frustrating week because I made so much progress, and it seems like we're taking a step backwards. But I will figure it out.
Yeah, if there's one thing I know about you and have admired about you for a very long time, as I think I've said publicly on our podcast, is your work ethic. So it's not gonna stop you. It might slow you down briefly, but I mean, geez, that's the story of our life sometimes, isn't it? You get slowed down and you find a way to push through. So hopefully all goes well. Do you have to order a whole new bike now, or they have to make adjustments to the one you have?
No, we've already taken that one back, but actually, Steve's wife Esther has a. I'm not a bike guy, obviously, right? So, it's one of those compact ones that fold up, and it works well for what we're trying to do. So
bikes can fold.
Sorry,
bikes can fold. I had no idea.
Yeah, they're
in half.
It's all like, if you didn't think I was a hipster before, you should see my bike and my haircut.
The frame folds in half, man. It's actually pretty cool.
So how did Steve react to getting elbowed in the gut? Did he was he mad at you? Did he laugh it off, or like did he genuinely think that you were trying to hurt him, or what?
Well, obviously he didn't think I was trying to hurt him. He thought I was a bit of an idiot for slamming the brakes on, but
he's like, geez, haven't you ridden a bike before? You can't do that.
So. But no, he was good, and I thought if I did not hurt him badly, if I hurt him badly, he played it off like I didn't.
That's good.
He also knew how frustrated I was, so that probably was why. But
I think that it's absolutely awesome that you can call up little bro and say, hey, come run beside my bike. Where are you guys going, somewhere like secluded so that nobody sees this? Or like, are you just out, like just on your sidewalk, or do you guys go to a park, or what do you guys been doing?
School like around the corner from my house. Yeah. So no, there are, the first time I did it, there were two people, and I think they were a little upset because I think they were on a little mini date. And
you third and fourth wheeled them, buddy.
Yeah. And then when we got the new bike, there was two different instances of people walking their dogs, which anybody trying to ride a bike for the first time is not the added opportunity of dogs chasing the bike is a lot of fun. So.
Okay, so now, and I'm at creating mental pictures as you're telling this story. So you're there with your brother, two 30-something men, one learning how to ride a bike and one running beside the bike. And what's the reaction? Is there any? Are they looking at you and looking down so that, you know, to not embarrass you, or are you embarrassed by it? Probably not, because you don't give two shits anyways, which I think is awesome. But what?
Oh no, I definitely don't care. I mean, I wouldn't have chronicled the whole thing if I cared.
Yeah.
But no, there was definitely some double takes, but I mean,
not something you see every day.
Well, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to take your phone out and take a picture? I've already done that, so whatever.
that's awesome. So yeah, you're on a school ground on the cement then, like on a sort of like a pavement area.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I bailed one time, and Steve did absolutely everything he could to make it as soft a fall as possible. But
does he like slow motion dive in front of you? No, take one for the team.
No, he just tried to hold me up as much as he could, but I'm 200 pounds almost, right? So,
you know, I've had similar experiences, not necessarily on a bike, but my little brother is twice my size, and I'll share a story very quickly. Back in December, we went for drinks for my mom's birthday, and I'm sure I've told this story before. I smashed my face off pavement.
Yes, I remember seeing the picture. I think that you might have shared the story. I don't know if it made the cut of an episode, but I certainly remember hearing the story. And you posted a picture. It looked like you had the shit beat out of you, buddy. I was like, Jesus, what happened to you?
Yeah, no, my face hit the pavement because my hands didn't come up in time, because I might have had more alcohol in my blood than blood. I can relate to having a sibling try to catch me, so to speak. This time he failed. Usually he's pretty good.
Did he just not? He just like he was like, forget you, I'm not catching you, or was he just couldn't?
No. He was behind me, and I was like Super Dave Osborne trying to fly out of the
great reference.
Yeah.
If that's a low, let me explain what a high is, I guess. As we've said before, Amanda's pregnant, and she's getting pretty far along, and she was just like, I really can't pick Maya up at daycare today. Can you do it? And when I've done it in the past, I'll ask somebody to come with me to pick her up, because as we've also said before, she's already faster than I am. If she wants to run, she will run. And nobody was available, so I just said I'm gonna have to do it eventually. So I'll just suck it up and go do it. And so, guys, I kid you not, I'm praying to God that Maya doesn't run away before I go in the door to pick her up. The whole time I'm like, hey, Maya, you gotta stay here. Don't run. Like, I'm talking to it the entire time, and to her credit, she was like a magnet. She didn't like leave my side.
Good for her.
Can I be ignorant for a second?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for asking permission to be ignorant. That would be the first
time. Yeah, well, usually I don't ask permission. So there's a first for everything. As everybody knows, Chad and I both are fairly frequent wheelchair users.
I would classify you guys as full-time users.
Yeah, I think I'm beyond the fairly frequent.
I was trying to be polite.
Okay, but, forget polite. Just be the asshole that you are.
Yeah. Screw you. But Andy, I'm not trying to diminish the thought or the idea that you went to go pick up Maya on your own, because I think that's awesome, and the fact that both of you are parents just blows my mind, because I look at children and I just not finishing that thought, but. This whole thing about you picking up Maya, I'm just wondering, why wouldn't the chair be easier for you to go pick up Maya, even though you're pretty much in the car, drive over to daycare, out of the car, go grab Maya back into the car?
Well, see, that's a great question. The daycare, her room is down a flight of stairs.
Oh, so that'll do it.
Got to go down the stairs, open up a door, and then there's her room. So
this is the No Excuses podcast, not the Oh My God, There's a Flight of Stairs podcast.
Exactly. No excuses. I don't use my chair. I walk down the stairs.
Oh, I see how you flip that. Well played.
All right. So, Andy, so you're walking out with Maya, and you have to have her sort of glued to your hip because of your mobility issues. And she was listening. She was being a good girl.
Yeah. There's a guy, there's a friend of mine, him and his family live across the street from the daycare. And he happened to notice that I went in by myself. And so he was there, and he asked me if I needed help. And I said, I appreciate it, but I have to figure out how to do this on my own.
That's awesome.
So he stuck around just to make sure. And I think it helped that Maya is very shy. But she listened. I was able to get her up into the car, get her safety belt on. So, but I've done it twice since then without any assistance, without anybody even there to spot me.
Yeah, I was going to say that the first time must be nerve-wracking because you don't entirely trust yourself and you probably don't trust her, and I don't mean that in a negative way. But I imagine once you do it once successfully, you realize that you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, she picks up on stuff, right? So she knows what she can get away with and what she can't, but she's good.
As a dad, your mind just must race with all the what ifs, right? If she does take off running, you know you can't catch her. So then you're screaming for help or looking for a pedestrian that can tackle your kid for you or something, you know? Your mind
has
to start racing with all the possibilities.
Yeah. So her room, the daycare is an old church. But they also have the house beside the church because it was the parishioner's house. Am I saying that right?
That's a good word. You're just spouting off very polysyllabic words today. That means many syllables, I think.
I just want to make sure I'm right. But so anyways, there's a driveway going up to that house. So she knows the car. And she knows that she can't go past the car, but there's still always that chance that she's just like the last time I picked her up, I opened up the door and I was like, you got to stay with me. Just like our pep talk the last three times. And I opened up the door and she was like, bird, it took off. Right? So
squirrel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. This sounds like a night out with me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I said Brett to you in a stern dad voice if you would stop. But
so does you know, she, when you give her now, are you a dad that uses the middle name, or do you yell abruptly, and does she listen to that? Because I mean, I've been there as a father of three, not picking up my kids from daycare, but we have to, guys like us have to use words, and hopefully they work. You know, I've got my chair, so my luxury is hopefully that if we're in an accessible environment, I can catch my kids if they ever run away. But I do find myself having to be a very vocal person to compensate for, you know, lack of some physical ability. So hopefully, you know, you never want to yell at your kids, but you got to put the old dad voice on from time to time. So did it work, or does it work with Maya?
Yeah, it works. And she knows it's serious when you start to count. And it blows my mind, because when my parents count, when I was growing up, when they started counting, I would just start laughing, right? Like, but anyways, yeah, it works. And I don't know. I can't explain to you how gratifying it is. I don't even know if that's the word, but to be able to pick her up independently is pretty cool. So,
well, it's great for your confidence, because again, you discover that you can do it. And I would wager a guess, as a father of multiples, that it's not going to get any easier. You're going to be doing it more with a second little one imminently due, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of cool the way things work out. Like I'm to the point where I can do more with Maya. So that frees Amanda up to do more with the newborn when she arrives. So it's neat.
I have been there, where it's one of those things that I think I've said this on a previous episode. As a parent, you never really, you know, want your kids to grow up. You want them to stay small forever. And you hear that from other parents. Oh, you'll miss these days when they were so young. I had multiple instances, as I think I've spoke about before, of you can't wait for the kid to get just a little bit older, because we have our own limitations that we have to sort of work around. And so the older they get, the sort of easier it becomes for, you know, doing things independently with them.
Yeah. I'm kind of, even though I can't really relate because I don't have children, and there's a debate on whether or not I'm still a child, but I can relate, because Thomas and Charlotte are 4 and 6, and I think maybe another year or two and I can actually hang out with the two of them independently, because I can actually stuff the two of them in my car without really any assistance, because they're going to go from a child seat to, I guess,
like it's a booster. Yeah.
Yeah. And Thomas knows how to put his booster in already, and he's only 6. So I can imagine in even a year, maybe he can help his little sister put the booster in the back seat.
Yeah.
Buddy, that's a game changer when you can do that stuff, because you can, if you're the favorite uncle now, well, I guess you are anyways, because you're the only uncle.
But... well, I'm the only uncle on the one side. My sister-in-law does have a brother.
But if you start taking them to movies or out to McDonald's, man, your stock goes way up.
I'm going to be taking them to places that I can pick up single women.
Listen, you've already invited our podcast listeners to slide into your Tinder as opposed to your Twitter.
He's taking a page out of Big Daddy.
Fair enough. That's right. It's the Adam Sandler play. Yes. Yeah, but I wipe my own ass. help me. I don't know where I live. That's going to be your move, man. And if you haven't seen that movie now, internet, you got to go watch Big Daddy starring Adam Sandler to understand the reference. But yeah, maybe that's your play, buddy. Just use the niece and the nephew to help you meet single women.
Yeah, but if that ends up working out, like, that's going to be a story on my wedding night. And
a great story it'll be, buddy. So just to sort of add my two cents, I never actually picked up our children from daycare. And that was a bit of a prideful piece too. Our kids went to a home daycare, which had you know, multiple stairs into the building and then multiple levels, as Andy was alluding to, where, you know, the preschool kids are on one floor and the school age kids are on the next floor and so on and so forth. So I did have to rely on my wife to do all the pickups, or my dad, or good family friends, even in case of emergency, would go and get them. Since they've become school age, it's a little bit easier. I do pick up the kids quite frequently from school, especially once the warmer weather comes. We're within walking distance from their school. It's a good walk. It takes us about 20 minutes as I wheel beside them. But I do enjoy doing that. Once the warmer weather comes. And in that case, what usually happens is the kids are waiting in their sort of aftercare area. Most of our schools, all of our school buildings I know, have before and aftercare programs within the school, so that for the parents that are working, they will essentially provide homework help and activities and stuff for your kids before and after school, so that it'll allow for an earlier drop off or for a later pickup if you're working. So I would get to the kids' school, and my kids go to a very, and I say this with all due respect, a very inaccessible school, very, very old building, full of stairs. The only entrance, as I think I've mentioned before on our podcast, that I can enter into the school is to the gym. The gym is on the ground level, and everything else is upstairs. So when I get there to the kids' school, I essentially have to press the buzzer and wait outside the door. They've got cameras. So I press the buzzer, identify myself, and sort of wave at the camera. And then they send the kids out to me, because I've got no prayer of trying to get to the kids themselves. So, that's sort of my foray into that. Push the button and wait for help, which, I mean, again, it's always a shot, you know, to the pride side that you can't do certain things, but the kids are at an age now where they easily know how to get themselves to me, and then of course we finish the walk home. This will be the first year in September now where Colby is, my youngest, is finished daycare and will be in the school, so I don't foresee us doing the walk with Colby home, because it's too much for him. So we'll sort of see what happens there, but it'll be the first year where I have all three of my kids in the same building.
Our social media circles cross each other every once in a while with mutual friends and whatnot, and there was a gentleman who was ranting about an experience he had going to a concert and getting floor seats on the internet. When he arrived, he was told he could not sit there. Yep. And then he was pretty upset for the rest of the evening and what seemed to be a couple months following, but.
Yeah, so if you sorry, just to jump in there, Andy, if you haven't heard the story, I couldn't even tell you what episode it is, but it's on a previous episode where we sort of chat about this mutual friend of ours bought floor seats on the Ticketmaster website for the Scotiabank Place in Toronto. He had been on the floor before for wrestling shows, and so thought it was no big deal that he sit on the floor for a concert, and then was told when he got there that he could not sit on the floor in his wheelchair because of the law, really, and the policies of the building. That happened again this week to another individual who showed up on the news, and this friend of ours was very quick to post a link to that interview on Global TV, picked up the story, and just kind of turned it into another rant fest.
The conclusion that we came to was, it's just not safe, right? There's no vendetta against wheelchair users, but it's not safe for them. It's not safe for other patrons if there happens to be an emergency and people are just booking it for the exit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, they're not doing it to cause any grief or problems for the disabled community. And you know what? I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm going to say that I hate to side with this individual, because I was a pretty harsh critic the first time he posted about it. But I think society does need to do better in finding a solution. Obviously, they can't necessarily find a solution that's going to cause another incident like an evacuation issue, or in the event of a fire or whatnot, that they can't get it out of the building. But there needs to be a reasonable solution found in most cases anyway.
Well, I think, man, I think this is my opinion on it. There needs to be better communication, first of all. I think with everything being available on the internet, it's very easy to go buy tickets. And then once you get there, you're kind of shit out of luck, right? Because they have these policies in place for a reason. And it's not the venue's fault. Well, no, it's not the venue's fault. It's definitely not the staff member that's trying to enforce the rule. It's not their fault.
No, there's certainly not any rent-a-cops at these things that are trying to be Paul Blart.
Yeah.
So no segues. I was going to say no segues at the ACC, but it's now Scotiabank Arena or Scotiabank Place or whatever it is.
But I would say it like this. You're not – we're obviously all for inclusion, right? Like there's no – that's not even debatable. But when it comes to safety and the law, like there's no wiggle room, right? Like if I was parking in a fire zone with accessible parking pass – and I got a ticket, I couldn't fight it on the grounds that I have an accessible parking pass. Sorry, I'm allowed. Like, my accessible parking pass does not trump the fire zone no parking, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that just to sort of jump in here again, the story around this one, and it's basically the same, exactly the same thing that happened to our mutual friend. This one is perhaps even more talk worthy though, because this particular person who was on the news was a female with a wheelchair who has seen, it was the Backstreet Boys that were just in Toronto, and she had seen them multiple times before, but really wanted to sit on the floor this time. So I just was watching the clip again before going on the air here with you guys. And there was an interview with her friend that went to the show with her who had said that they even contacted not only of course they purchased they purchased the floor seats, but she said that they contacted the arena beforehand and actually spoke to an attendant who said, yes, your wheelchair will be allowed on the floor. And so that was even more problematic because they had been told by who knows, probably just some random, maybe someone that didn't even have the answer. Maybe that person was just having a bad day and gave this person this answer to get him off the phone. But they were told that they could sit on the floor before purchasing the tickets. So then they purchased the tickets and went there, of course, with the full intention of being on the floor and having that floor seat experience, only to have it denied. And they were just like our mutual friend. They were moved to the closest accessible seat that they had in the 100 level. Not what they had intended. And then, of course, they got, as Brett would say, butthurt by it, right?
So I didn't realize that. And I know I asked you guys to send me the clip so I could watch it. But I was just going to say I've had a very similar experience. Very – now that you said that, we'll talk about that later. But
Yeah, so this that I think was the big point of contention was, of course, she's upset because she can't sit there. But I suppose even more the bigger reason for now getting the media involved and doing all the whining about it was that she was told that she could sit there. And so, I had to theorize that it was probably some person who had no authority to make that call that just said that, but the rules are still rules.
I don't know how ticket sales work, but I would imagine that it's commission based. So
that's a great point. So she's just trying to get her on the floor, right? Pay the big bucks.
Well, yeah, I would assume, but you know what happens when you assume. So can't say for sure.
Well, I will be venturing to said venue next week to the Scotiabank Place, and I will not be attempting to sit on the floor. I'll be going there for a wrestling show. I think Brett and I have talked about our sad little love of professional wrestling still after 30 some years, but
yeah, I'm not sad to it.
There you go. But I will be sitting in the designated and marked wheelchair section, and so I won't have any problems. All right, so we have once again been ranting, raving. We haven't been butthurt, but the internet has been, and probably a little bit. But it's time now for the offside, where we sort of take something that's either bugged us before or is recent, happened to us this week. There's always those moments that make us shake our head a little bit. Brett and I don't know what's coming. Andy has said he wanted this one. So take it away, Andrew Paul.
Last weekend, we being Amanda and I went with a large group of people to go see our beloved Toronto Blue Jays, and the gentleman organizing the event is a gentleman by the name of Sam Locher.
Friend of the show, yeah. Sam Locher, episode whatever where Sam was on with us, yeah.
So he was saying, I think we want to get a bunch of people to go to the Blue Jays game. And jokingly, I said, well, how do group tickets work with wheelchair seating? Yes. And he said, I'm going to find
out. Yeah, of course.
When he called, he said, we're looking to get a group together. What does accessible seating look like? And he got the common response, well, our accessible seating is 100 level or whatever it is, and so we would just put all your seats in and around that spot so everybody can be kind of in close proximity to each other. And Sam said, well, what about what happens when we want like 500 level seats, the cheap seats, right? What are the options there? And the sales associate said, well, is the person in the chair, are they mobile at all on their feet? And Sam, of course, said yes. And so they were like, well, what we do in that instance, the same thing, we'll put a bunch of you guys. We had 60 people, over 60 people going. So
that's a big group.
No problem, 60, right? Or there's no point to put everybody side by side, so they stagger everybody, right? But they made sure that my seats were the last two in the row, and the sales rep said, just leave your chair with the attendant and he'll leave it in the walkway, but he's always there. So nobody's going to take the chair.
Joyride.
I get to the dome, which I'm always going to call it the dome.
Yeah, it will forever be the dome.
Yep. We get up to the 500 level and show the guy the tickets. And he's like, well, you have to take your wheelchair to guest services. And I said, no, we talked to two different people. They said, I can leave it with you. And he said, no, it's a fire hazard. And which, again, I totally understand if that's the case. But we were told two different times that that's not the case, right? So so I went back and forth with him for a little bit. But he was not giving me an inch. So my pregnant wife had to take the wheelchair. Well, no, she volunteered because she wanted to let off a little steam. I'll just say it politely. When she took the wheelchair, she had to walk halfway around the stadium to get services so I could check my wheelchair in. So she could check my wheelchair in. And the attendant at guest services said, so the usher won't just keep it with him.
Huh, really?
So clearly there is a breakdown in communication.
Yeah, a little miscommunication.
But Sam said two things. He said, we wouldn't have bought the tickets if this was going to be the case, which is probably why they told him it wouldn't be an issue.
Of course.
And second of all, if my wheelchair is a fire hazard, let's say there is an emergency, what am I supposed to do to get to my chair?
Exactly.
Like, it makes no sense, right? So.
Nope. Yeah, that's crazy. Have you had any similar experiences, Brett, with traveling with a group for accessible seats? I know that when we had a very similar, well, not similar like that, but similar enough, when I was teaching in the elementary panel, our staff party, our year-end party was we decided to get a group together and go to the Jays game. There was about 20 of us then. And, of course, we had to do the same thing, call for group tickets and look for accessibility. So very similar story there in the sense that they said, well, you'll be in a like an accessible seat and then we'll put everybody else around you. Some of the guys I was with tried to play the wheelchair card, as I say affectionately, and tried to get us better seats once we got there. That's really hard to do when you're they probably were not only trying to get us moved down closer to the field, but the entire group that we were with. And you know, the attendance wasn't great that night, but you're not moving 20 people down, you know, two sections. So they sort of said, you can go with him. So they were willing to move myself and another colleague to a better accessible seat. I just chose to stay with the group because I didn't really want to separate on that particular occasion.
The purpose of the group trip, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I had a blast at the 100 levels, like while you were up in the
fives. Yeah, while you guys were in the fives. Yeah, absolutely.
You see, guys, I don't necessarily like people.
So that explains a lot.
So,
well, thanks for continuing to talk with us every week then.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that Chad, you're an exception, and Andy, you're kind of the package deal with Chad. So, I never have necessarily had a group situation, but I do recall, and Chad, you might enjoy this. Back when I was in high school, I wanted to go to a WWE live event, and
yeah.
So I guess my mom or my dad called Ticketmaster to find tickets, and they sold us two handicap accessible seats, but there wasn't enough room. So ironically, there was a seat right in front of the handicap section, and then a seat obviously in the accessible section, and we kind of sat and watched it that way.
Mm-hmm. So you're together, but not really as close as you could
be. Yeah, we might as well have been separated at birth.
That's awesome.
It was super awkward and stupid, but I mean,
we have seen it work. It won't work with the downfall there. Not a downfall. I think it's amazing that you had like 60 people. That's a huge group, Andy. We have done it not in Toronto, but in Montreal. Dad and I are both huge Montreal Canadiens fans. So we try to make a trip every couple of years to go watch a couple hockey games at what I consider to be the mecca of hockey at the Bell Center. But anyways, we brought a third person with us the one time. And of course, they have very strict policies around accessible seats. As any major sports venue does now. So I could get an accessible seat and my dad would sit in a folding chair right next to me. But the third person could not be accommodated. So this particular third person that came with us says, okay, well, I'll just buy the cheapest seat I can find in the 500s and then just maybe try and, you know, come down to you guys halfway through the game or whatever. And of course, it didn't work to the way that he would have liked. He had to stay in the nosebleeds. We went down for two games. He had to stay in the nosebleeds for the first one, and they wouldn't let him come down unless it was intermission. And of course, we'd get together for a drink or whatever the case may be. But on the second game, the same usher was there with us from the first game and recognized our friend. And there happened to be a seat that was unsold, or at least unaccounted. It was probably on paper was a sellout, but this person didn't show for whatever reason. So my friend was able to come down and sit with me on the other side in a fold out chair. So I mean, you take the gamble, I suppose. Certainly not with 60 people though.
Yeah, man. The issue is not is it a fire hazard? The issue Like, because if I start saying upset that he wouldn't bend the rules, then that makes me a hypocrite based on our previous podcast, right? So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The issue was the fact that we were told something, and then when we got there, that wasn't the case. Right? So, we've all been to the Dome. We know the seats aren't the most comfortable. This particular yeah. game ended up going into extra innings. Amanda was like, I'm not sitting in these seats anymore. So she went and got the wheelchair and just sat beside the usher in the walkway.
In your chair?
In the wheelchair.
Yeah.
So the person I was sitting beside leaned over and was like, yeah, that usher's not telling a pregnant lady in a wheelchair to move because it's a fire hazard, so.
She doubled down. She was pregnant yeah. and differently abled.
Yeah,
so. That's fantastic. Good luck fighting this battle.
You know, I'm going to go get my name legally changed to Fire Hazard.
That's like first name Fire, last name Hazard?
Yeah.
Or like middle name, like Fire Hazard Wills.
Yeah, maybe I won't change my last name. Maybe I'll change my first name to Fire, middle name Hazard.
Yeah, no, you got to respect your dad, man. You got to keep that family name.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. So, you know,
Fire Hazard.
From now on, I want to be known as Fire Hazard.
Fire Hazard Wills. All right, listen, I think that is does anybody else got anything else to say? Because I just want to close off and say the name Fire Hazard Wills.
I'm good.
All right. So, I mean, you asked for it, Brett. So we're certainly thanking you again for tuning in to this week's episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. A reminder that you can go back and check out all older episodes on any podcatching device of your choice, Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. However you're listening to us, we deeply appreciate your support. Chad, Andy, and Fire Hazard saying goodnight.
Ciao.